Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Joined in the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, who's brought to you by Golfdom. Golf season is here. Golfdom has you covered in Tyson's or at golfdomgolf.com. Come experience the best in clubs, apparel, shoes, accessories, and more. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
How did your appearance at Politics and Pros go to pimp the new book, The Backroads to March?
Yeah, it went great, and I thank you guys for your help with it. It's nice when you're doing something like that and you see people standing because all the chairs are used up. And it was that kind of crowd, and signed a lot of books, and saw some people I hadn't seen in a long time who came, which was cool. And then last night I actually did a speaking thing at the Philadelphia Free Library, which was packed. It was really, it's a great place. It was terrific. And the week has been very hectic but very fun, and the book seems to be off to a great start in terms of reviews and early sales. And it was nice yesterday because Jay Billis actually read the book, which often people don't do before they, you know, tweet about it or something. But he actually read it and tweeted and said it was, his word, fantastic. So far, so good.
You know, one of the things about your book, you talk a lot about driving from one spot to the next and going to this game to the next place and going to the cathedral and then driving. I know we've asked you this before, but do you ever tally up the miles? Like, what are the miles for this book, let's say?
You know, somebody asked me that question last week who was doing an interview about the book. And I think it was probably about 35 to 40,000 miles before it was all said and done, because I was all over the place. I was out in the Midwest. I was south. I was north. Obviously went to a lot of games, so it was a lot of miles, and I'm lucky that I most of the time I enjoy my time in the car. Not so much yesterday getting to Philly, because Google Maps took me practically to Ohio, which was my fault for not remembering that the library is right near City Hall. But most of the time I don't mind the driving. I get work done in the car, and I love getting where I get to most of the time too.
So the book's called The Backroads to March, The Unsung, Unheralded, and Unknown Heroes of a College Basketball Season. So let's start with a little college hoops talk. Maryland is just kind of fading here down the stretch. Do you think this is salvageable and they can turn it around? They've lost 3 out of 4, and Jason has pointed this out all season. They just don't knock down three-point shots.
They're not a great shooting team. Jason's right. The reason I think there's still hope is because they guard. And that's been their strength all year, has been their defense. That's how they've come back in a lot of games where they've fallen behind, by digging in and, as coaches like to say, getting stops.
But even that's fallen off lately.
Well, certainly the last two games, yeah. What did Rutgers score, 79?
Something like that, yeah.
And Michigan State dominated them really through almost the entire game. But here's the thing. If you go back and look through the resumes of really every team in the country, with maybe the exceptions of Kansas, San Diego State, Gonzaga, and I guess Baylor too, all those teams have 3 losses or less. But if you look at everybody else, they've had streaks like this. I mean, Duke just lost 3 out of 4 before they finally beat NC State on Monday, and they had to go to a zone to do it, you know, and that didn't make Mike Krzyzewski happy. But, yes, it's salvageable. I think they'll beat Michigan at home on Sunday. I don't think Michigan's that good. They're playing at home at Senior Day, and that should give them a little bit of a boost going into the Big Ten tournament. But a lot of it will depend on where they're seated. Now, that's what the 3 out of 4 has certainly hurt their seeding. They were a 2. Now, depending on what happens next week Indy. They could be a three, could be a four, could jump back up to a two, who knows. But you don't want to be a four and end up playing a one seed in the Sweet 16, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's salvageable. And when people, you know, because people, all, when I'm doing these book signings and all these interviews, people say, well, what do you think about this team? What do you think about that team? And my answer is the same. There are 20 teams that could make the Final Four, and they could all also lose in the second round. Maryland's certainly in that category.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to the tournament for that fact alone, because I just think you're going to see some crazy upsets. Now, I don't believe it when people say, yeah, there's 20 teams that can win it. I think that number's much smaller than that. I think
there's 20 teams that could get to Atlanta, yeah, Jason. Yeah,
yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But to win it, I think it's probably 8 to 12. Could be totally wrong on that. But
yeah.
We'll see. But I think that is there a team or two or three right now that you say, all right, well, they're certainly the leaders in the clubhouse in terms of their power ranking?
Well, you got to look at Kansas right now, the way they played. Interestingly, since that fight against Kansas State that led to the kid being suspended, I guess he's coming back this weekend.
Right.
And they haven't lost a game since then, interestingly. So you have to look at them, and there would be all sorts of great irony involved if Mark Emmert had to present the trophy to Bill Self in Atlanta, since the Kansas and the NCAA are locked in a huge battle right now, and Kansas has hired the same law firm that North Carolina hired when they had their issues a couple of years ago. That would be ironic. I'm still, you can play this tape back after they win a national championship, but I'm still not sold on Baylor. The team that I like that hasn't gotten that much attention, I mean, they have in terms of ranking, but Dayton's really good, guys.
They're
really good.
Topham
is special.
Yep.
Their guard is really good, whose name I'm blocking on right now. Anthony Grant is a proven coach. They should be a one or a two seed, and that should put them in position to maybe go to their first Final Four since 1967. Mm-hmm. When they lost in the championship game to UCLA with a center named Lou Alcindor.
Yeah. The thing about Dayton is, and I agree, they're loaded. Toppin's amazing.
But, yeah, he's really good.
But they haven't really played anybody in the last 20 games.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I agree with that. I think you're underrating the A-10 a little bit. There are some, you know, I think there are some legit teams. VCU has faded badly. I don't know what's going
they're
on there,
terrible.
But I would have put them in the category of being a good team until two or three weeks ago. But I hear what you're saying. The A-10 is not as loaded as it has been in some years. They still have some very solid teams. Rhode Island's a solid team. Richmond's a very underrated team. I've seen them, and I'll be interested to see how the committee treats them, as in, will they get in?
They got a big one tonight at Duquesne.
And Duquesne's another bubble team, although they had one of those bad strings that we were just talking about. But we'll see what happens with that. But I hear what you're saying about Dayton. I do think, though, that what the tournament allows you to do when you're a high seed, not all the time, but most of the time, is when you're a one or a two seed, you usually have a game to play your way in. And then the second round game is almost always tough. So, again, that's why I say about Dayton would be another team in that category. I think they could go to the Final Four. I think they could lose in the second round, depending on who they get.
Joined by best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, the new book is The Back Roads to March. Yesterday, we were kind of kicking around this. Of the two teams which are kind of struggling here locally of late, who are contenders, the Washington Capitals and the Maryland Terrapins, who's more likely to go
first? I thought you were
going to
say the Wizards, and I was going to ask you what you were smoking.
No, not the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Caps or Terps, who's more likely to do better in the playoffs / tournament?
Well, again, the NCAA tournament is one and out.
Yeah.
You know, you have a bad day, you come up against a team that's hot, you're done. The playoffs obviously give you more cushion. You're playing best of seven series. You don't have to win every game. Remember the year they won the Stanley Cup, they were down 2-0, losing both games at home in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And came back and won the cup. That can't happen in the NCAA tournament. So I would always lean toward the team that has that kind of cushion, that can afford to have a bad night or even a couple bad nights and still go on and advance and win. So I would lean toward the Caps. But the flip side, of course, is to win a national championship, you only have to win six games. To win a Stanley Cup, you have to win 16 games.
Now, with the Caps, they've given
up. How's that for a Billy Martin answer?
It's a logical answer. They've given up three or more goals now in 10 straight games, John.
Yeah, which is surprising.
If you go all the way back to December 23rd, they're 14-15-2 in that stretch. That's mediocre hockey at best.
I don't get to watch enough this time of year to really have a handle on why they're not playing better. I do think their defense hasn't been as good. When you cite that stat of the goals, people always point at the goalies when the team's given up too many goals. I don't think Holtby and Samsonov have been that bad. They haven't been great, but the defense hasn't been great. And you can't just rely on Alex Ovechkin to score two goals a night. You need more than that. I'm surprised by this. I mean, they played so well until Christmas, and now they've really been to be under 500. Look at the standings. There's almost nobody under 500 in the NHL because of this stupid system where, you know, everybody gets a point every night, except the Islanders, who've lost five in a row. Them I'm concerned about. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs the way they're going. But to call that mediocre hockey is being generous.
You know, I hate when people – I have a hard time. If I get to know you, I can't call for your firing. You know what I mean? So we have Reardon on every week.
I've been there, done that. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, and I just am that way. I don't care. It's just disloyal to me. I don't think it's right. Even if it's correct to fire them, I just don't think it's right. I don't know enough about it. Do you have it? And I think we also learned something last year when everybody was calling for Davey Martinez's head, and they ended up winning the World Series.
Or even 2 years ago with Trotz.
Same thing with Trotz. Yeah.
Yeah. Trotz was going to get fired.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Are you talking about Reardon or are you talking about Turgeon?
I'm more or less talking about Reardon, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I don't know Todd Reardon, so I'm not in that position. I think there are different pressures when you're a coach. When you take over a losing team, there's the pressure of knowing you got to build a better team. When you take over a team that's just won the Stanley Cup, you have to deal with the expectations. Because unless you win a Stanley Cup again, you didn't do as good a job as the last guy. And that's what Reardon walked into last year. I don't think I know enough about hockey. I mean, I'm a big hockey fan, as you know. But I don't think I know enough about hockey technically to sit here and say this is Todd Reardon's the reason why the Caps aren't better than they are right now. But to me, the other thing is, and this is one thing I have learned through the years in every sport, coaching isn't about X's and O's 90% of the time.
Right.
Everybody who gets to be a head coach in the NHL or gets to be a head college basketball coach, they know X's and O's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it comes down to communicating, to leading, to how players respond to what you're telling them. And I'm not in the room, so I don't know if that's a factor with the Caps.
I'm glad you said that, and we're going to let you go, but that's exactly what we articulated earlier. I guarantee you, Reardon and Cashman, those guys, when they sit down, they know exactly what's wrong with the team.
He knows he's seeing defensive leaks.
He knows exactly what's happening. He's correcting the mistakes. He's telling the guys on the ice, and for whatever reason, it's not happening.
Yeah, maybe that's a communication thing.
And remember,
could be a communication thing.
This goes back to the line I use all the time about Dean Smith. Yeah. The other team gives scholarships, too.
Yeah, right.
They're not just sitting there saying, oh, the Caps should be, you know, we'll let them do this, we'll let them do that. The other team's trying to stop you from – the other team knows what you need to do, too.
Right.
It's like if you watch college basketball closely, these teams are so well scouted now, especially when you get to conference play, that you'll hear players on defense calling out the offense's play because they've looked at it on tape, and the players that when he calls green – you know, they're gonna run a high ball screen because they run a high ball screen 90% of the time now. But that's it's the question is then, can even though you know what's coming, can you stop it?
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely 100% right. Teams know what the Caps want to do. Teams know what Maryland wants to do. And they're trying just as hard to stop them and do what they want to do as Maryland and the Caps are trying.
John, always great talking to you. The new book is The Back Roads to March. Everybody go out and get it wherever books are sold. Thank you, John.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, buddy. You too.
Thanks. Coming up next, Tony Pauline's going to join us. He's an NFL draft analyst at ProFootballNetwork.com. He's been in on some of the rumors with the Redskins, including the possible pursuit of Philip Rivers. We'll talk to him next here on The Junkies.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Junkies All 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Tony Pauline, NFL draft analyst at ProFootballNetwork.com. And we wanted to have Tony on the show because raised our eyebrows, like, I don't know, a few days ago, a week ago, when we saw that Tony was saying that Philip Rivers to D.C. might be a real possibility. What's up, Tony?
Not much. That's kind of out of context as to what I said.
Good. Well, I want you to.
All right, clear it up.
You put the context out there. And let's discuss the ramifications.
I put the story out there. The people that decided to take it and run it with the way they wanted. What I had said was, is that people at the combine who I spoke with believed that the Redskins were going to put a bid in for Philip Rivers. Mm-hmm. They didn't think they were going to get him. But it may come down to money. But they thought that once free agency starts, that they're going to try and put a bid in for Philip Rivers. The belief is he's still going to end up with Indianapolis. But it's interesting that the Skins do want to come in and get a veteran quarterback like Rivers. I don't know that means they've given up on Haskins because I've been told that there are Rivera and some of the other guys in the front office do like Haskins. There are also some people who some holdovers who really have soured on Haskins. But the bottom line, what I heard was they're going to put a bid in for Rivers, but it doesn't seem likely that they're going to come away with him.
Yeah, I think it's very unlikely.
That's very interesting.
But it's just interesting that they'd even put in a bid.
Especially
you've got Alex Smith under contract.
No, Tony, I'm not asking your sources, but these weren't media members you were talking to. These are football people.
This was long after the media people had already left. The media people are there till Friday, and then they take off. And if you saw me on Twitter, I posted a picture on Twitter Saturday at the combine where there was one table that I was sitting at, and they had stripped everything down, and I was just sitting at the one table working. It was absolutely not media people.
Yeah, yeah. We've been having discussions, slash debates, slash arguments here for the last few days, week and a half or so, but on what the Skins should do and will do it too. I mean, I think there's a 90% chance they're going to take Chase Young, which some people think they're going to take Tua. Some people think that they're going to stick with Haskins. I don't know what Rivera really thinks or likes. I mean, I know what he says in the media, but that doesn't mean it's true. But at two, would you be surprised if they took Tua?
I would. I mean, especially with Chase Young sitting there and with Ron Rivera being a defensive-minded coach, I would for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think the Kyler Murray situation from a year ago was more was a one-off chance.
I mean,
you had a new coach in Cliff Kingsbury,
fluky,
who basically wanted his own guy in there. You also have to remember, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray had the same agent, which I think played a lot into it. I think the agent was pushing for Kyler Murray, but I also think that there was some sort of communication there as to, you know, what would happen moving forward.
Also, relationship recruiting-wise from years earlier.
Yeah. You know, that sort of relationship, that sort of made communication a lot easier. I also think that, you know, Haskins had some bumps in the road, obviously, but he played some good football at times last year. I think the Kyler Murray last year is the exception to the rule, and now everyone thinks, or a lot of people think, that everyone will do that. If you're a rookie quarterback, doesn't do well his first year or the first couple of games he's playing, just discard him and get a new quarterback, draft a new quarterback early on.
I was also going to say real quick that they also did it because the new coaching staff, yes, they were familiar with it, but they also thought and knew that the guy that was the incumbent couldn't play.
Right.
And he proved that. Now, I'm not saying Rivera and that staff feels the same way about Haskins, but it's certainly a possibility.
Well, let me tell you how that plays in, and Tony could speak to this. I think the fact that Rosen went there and was such a dud will also prevent this from happening because other teams are going to go, we don't want your damaged goods. If you've already decided this quickly that he sucks, you know what? That's going to give me pause,
well,
too, and I'm not going to give you nearly as much as you think.
Unless those other teams are
covet him.
Yeah, they really
they have to covet him,
Haskins,
but
yeah.
They're going to take your evaluation also seriously. See, if Rosen went out there and balled out, then that might, I'm telling you, that would give teams, hey, you know what? This is a viable deal. No one wants to take the Redskins' garbage.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is this, is Rosen was basically given away for a song. Because Arizona had to get rid of him. You know, again, it's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
Once again, you know, like the Rosen year, you've got four decent quarterback prospects at the top and the fifth one who's going to go later on, and Jacob Eason. So there's no shortage of quarterbacks in this year's draft. You know, again, I had also broken the story that the Redskins had a formal interview with Tua at the combine before workouts and everything started. But I'm not getting the vibe from people I'm talking to who know people in the Redskins front office that Rivera has soured on Haskins.
Tony, do you think something crazy will happen in the top five of the draft?
You know, it depends on what you consider crazy. I mean, if it's crazy, like, say, people thought the New York Giants taking Daniel Jones a year ago was crazy, although I was not that against it. I don't think there's going to be a player that pops into the top five that no one expects. I don't think there's going to be any crazy trades. I mean, you got to look at Detroit with that third spot. They are the first ones that could potentially move down if a team wants to move up to get one of the quarterbacks. Then you got to look at the Giants at number four. Again, could move down if the player that they really covet is not there. They probably would like a defensive player. If Isaiah Simmons is there, they jump all over him. If not, I think they entertain trade offers to move down. I don't think there's going to be anything off the wall that people really unexpected, like Cleveland Farrell, say, with the fourth pick a year ago.
Right.
Talking to Tony Pauline, who's an NFL draft analyst at ProFootballNetwork.com. How do you rate, though, Tua versus Burrow and the rest of the guys? Is it just kind of the conventional wisdom Tua is the number two guy now?
I still have Tua rated slightly higher than Burrow. I mean, I know Burrow's coming off a great year, and he deserves a lot of credit for it. And the brighter the lights got, the better he played. And you want to get a quarterback when they're on, you know, when they're moving north, when they're on the upswing. But I just like Tua's body of work better. I mean, Burrow, even though he was in college for 5 years, had one really sensational year, and it was a lights out year when it was perfectly timed. But I think Tua's body of work over the course of time, when he's been on the field and wasn't injured, he's been more of a leader. I think he's a better deep passer. I think you can do more things with him. I still have him rated just slightly higher than Burrow because of that. But obviously, you know, the injuries play a factor in it, and it's not just the hip injury. It's the fact that he had knee injuries in the past, he had ankle injuries in the past, and players can't help you when they're on the sidelines nursing those injuries. I don't think there's a huge spread. But again, because of the body of work, because of the fact that, you know, Tua was a very good player from his freshman season on at Alabama, I've got him rated slightly higher than Joe Burrow.
It's going to be interesting to see how he looks in his pro day. On when's he going to throw? April 9th, correct?
I think it's April 9th. Well, it's more interesting to see what he does.
Right.
Is he going to be throwing from a stationary position? Or is there going to be any dropping back? Are there going to be any rollouts where he's rolling outside, you know, the quote-unquote pocket, throwing on the move? That will be the interesting thing.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the other quarterbacks that could go in the first round, Herbert and Jordan Love. I guess Jordan Love really helped himself at the combine. You could tell me more about that. But I watched Jordan Love a few times this year. I mean, he's athletic, but you know, he didn't wow me. I thought he was better last year than he was this year. But what do you think about those two?
Well, I think absolutely right. Jordan Love was much better in 2018 than he was in 2019. But yeah, there was a change in coaching staff. He lost a lot of players on offense. I think Jordan Love last year was pressing too much and was actually trying to do too much and trying to take too much on his shoulders. If you watched that first game against Wake Forest, he almost pulled it out, but it was kind of downhill after that because of the fact that I think he was pressing too much. He needs work on his game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's physically gifted. Yeah. He makes some incredible throws, and then he makes some untimely decisions that hurt the team. So he's got to get hooked up with a good quarterback coach. Justin Herbert, in my opinion, is just the opposite. He's probably, you can say, the most complete package physically in this year's draft at the quarterback position. When you look at arm strength, you look at athleticism, you look at the ability to accurately make passes inside or outside the pocket, the ability to make all the throws. For the most part, the decision-making. The problem with Justin Herbert, literally the last 2.5 years, is there just doesn't seem to be that fire. He just doesn't seem to be able to carry an offense on his shoulders
right, the
way a guy who is that physically talented should be able to. I mean, you watch the Oregon games, if you break them down, Justin Herbert needs everything around him to be in working order in order for Oregon to win. You look at how many times he threw for 155 yards, yet Oregon was rushing for 250, 300 yards on the ground. You know, he needed the defense to work. He needed special teams to work. I think that, you know, with Justin Herbert, you constantly came away from games feeling that he should have done much more to help the team and help the Oregon offense. And that can be a dangerous situation at the next level. I think with Justin Herbert, you got to put him in the right situation. He may not be a big market guy that's going to lead a team in, say, a Miami or something like that where the lights are constantly on him. I don't think he's that sort of personality that's going to react well to that.
Tony, real quick, I know you got to run. I was just reading your mailbag at profootballnetwork.com, and you say this Tom Brady to San Francisco thing may actually have some legs.
I thought it was ludicrous. I thought there was no way it was going to happen. But when you hear more and more people say it, especially people that you trust, all of a sudden, you know, like they say, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I still have a tough time grasping this, to think that this would happen. But again, it's not me. It's people that I'm talking to saying, yeah, this is a possibility. And as I said in the mailbag, literally the one team that's been in the conversation for Brady since the Senior Bowl, which is really the first big get-together of people in the league, has been the Las Vegas Raiders. And then we've heard about the Buccaneers, and you've heard about the Miami Dolphins was in it all early on. And now I'm starting to hear more and more chatter about the San Francisco 49ers and that, you know, potential trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. I have a tough time wrapping my arms around this and believing it. But when I heard Deion Sanders talking about it at the combine after I watched the replay, I thought, this is nuts. But when more and more people are talking about it, especially people you trust, you're like, hey, you know, maybe there's some legs to this.
That would be fascinating to me.
It certainly would
if that happened. It really would be.
All right, thanks a lot for joining us, Tony.
Thanks for having me.
Tony Pauline from the ProFootballNetwork.com.
I thought it would be.
Just like if we had Tua in D.C., it would be fascinating. Tom Brady to the 49ers would be.
Look, sports as unpredictable as you can get. But for him to go to San Francisco, and I guess that would mean maybe Jimmy Garoppolo goes back to New England.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't that be unbelievable?
I mean, I read earlier this week that Belichick and Brady, and you don't know what to believe, they supposedly had a phone call, and the way that it was described is it didn't go well.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows what to believe?
I saw Brady in some clip talking to Dana White, basically saying, oh, we'll see what happens. Who knows? Haven't been through the process before. Like I said, I'm betting he's bouncing. Don't know where. I think he's going to end up outside of New England.
Yeah, you might be right. Might be right.
But I'm wrong all the time, just like we all are.
I'm wrong all the time.
But the 49ers angle would truly be fascinating because
it's just that's a huge team. It's a huge risk.
That's a team that could obviously win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And supposedly he wants to go to compete for a Super Bowl, and maybe he thinks that he can't compete
anymore. They were a fourth quarter collapse away from winning a Super Bowl his third year.
That's a factor that I don't know the answer to, but I'm taking Kraft at his word that he'll do whatever it takes to keep him. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think he's going to stay. But if Tom actually thinks, you know what, at this point, this window has closed, my best shot somewhere else, well, then he could leave.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's what the Drew Brees is, I guess, chiming in and said, look, I can't speak for Tom, but I think he wants to play because he wants to win another championship.
Mm-hmm.
So these teams are going to sell themselves, and that's where a team like Tampa would probably be a stretch, although Tampa would have sick receivers for him to throw to.
Yeah, right. They've got some talent, yep.
But a team like San Francisco would say, hey, look, if you join us, look, they really were a throwaway. If Jimmy G connects on that one deep throw,
third
and I
down.
Know it's a deep throw, they win the Super Bowl.
Well, he did connect on it. It was an offensive pass interference. Is that what you're talking about?
No. I'm talking about the one which he overthrew
late
in the game.
I got you. Yeah,
the overthrow.
Yeah, I guess that was to Sanders.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, phone number you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067. We will talk more Redskins coming up at 9:20 with Chris Russell right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I was just reading during the break the sentence for the guy who licked the tub of ice cream at Walmart.
Yeah.
And it was all caught on camera and he put it back in the freezer.
He's going to poke.
How much do you think that deserved?
Well, now, I already
know what it is. So Jason, how much? So he was caught, 24-year-old guy, caught licking a tub of ice cream.
Especially
in a Walmart,
right now doing that?
And then he put it back in the freezer.
Remember when that was like a viral
he said
craze?
It was a prank.
It was a viral craze. Some girl did it.
So just imagine opening up some Edie's ice cream, okay?
Yeah.
A tub, you know, like whatever it is, a gallon,
lick
whatever.
It and you put it back
licking
in.
Licking it, and then putting it back in, put the top back on
so
that somebody
buys
sick.
It. He wasn't previously sick. He was just.
I don't think so.
No, he just is doing it to be a jerk.
He was doing it for social media attention.
Yeah, he's an idiot. I mean, what are you asking me? How much jail time should he get? Oh, I have no idea.
You're the judge. How much did you give him?
I mean, I wouldn't give him much. I don't know, a day?
I got a month. 30 days.
I think that's too much, but that's me. He's stupid. He should go to stupidity jail. Maybe he should go to stupidity jail for a month. But regular jail, I wouldn't give him a month.
I tell you right now.
100 hours of community service, and he has to pay $1,565.
I would give him a hefty fine.
To Bluebell, who's the ice cream company?
Yeah. I didn't even know that happened.
We talked about it.
Yeah, I just spaced
Maybe you
it.
Just spaced it.
I spaced it. Thinking about my wife and daughter are on a plane right now going to L.A.
Yeah.
and they're going, you know, California obviously has been one of those states that's had some of the virus.
Well, you have to accept that it's in every state.
But they're going to visit some friends, and the mom of the family told my wife yesterday, hey, just want to let you know that our son has a 101-degree fever now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think he was diagnosed with corona, but I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure it's not. But
normal kids
she probably
would have
told you. Right, she would have had an obligation to tell you.
But her friend said, and do you want me to get a hotel? Because they're going to stay at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to get a hotel for you? And my wife and Thomas C. Mooney's wife said, no, we're good, because they're bringing their daughters. And but she did say, when you get here, I want you to wash all your clothes and take showers.
Yeah. So what she's saying
is, because they're going to be on a plane for 5 minutes.
What she's saying
is
she doesn't want them there, too. So I would take that I'll get a hotel.
Well, hold on a second. I don't know if she's saying she doesn't want them there. She just wants them to know. She doesn't want them to be worried that their son is sick and feel awkward.
That has nothing to do with taking showers. The shower part tells me she doesn't really want them there right now with all the hysteria and with all the transmission of the viruses that's going on.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I don't know.
If I was Teresa, I actually would not want to stay with someone that has a fever. And I typically wouldn't.
Yeah.
Not forget about this virus.
I don't know. It was just funny to me.
Yeah.
Well, I guess this is what you have to do. Do you find it funny that Vice President Pence went to Washington, which is one of the worst spots right now in America?
It's a hot spot right
now. It's a hot spot. He's going over there to kind of, bring confidence to the nation and that sort of thing. And the governor greeted him and he gave him an elbow bump. That's his thing. He didn't want to shake his hands. I haven't seen people doing that.
A lot of people are doing that.
Yeah. Really?
Well, not elbows.
Dude, at my church, they're not doing the whole handshake thing.
Yeah.
At my church. I don't know. I don't know what the alternative is.
I guess the elbow bump.
It could be that.
I've never actually seen an elbow bump, so to read about it made me chuckle.
Look, at the end of the day, handshakes might be going the way of the dodo bird. I mean, because you really are just, for no reason, just giving each other your germs.
Handshakes will never go away. Ever.
Yeah, well, what about the...
Because once corona goes away, which it will...
Yeah, people will forget.
There you go.
Maybe.
Until the next virus
comes. But I never thought that some of the stuff, the standards that are out there right now would exist.
You're not going to stop handshaking.
What about the brother hug? Because the brother hug kind of includes
the
handshake.
Well, you're just... That's even worse. For germs, you're hugging the person. You're getting all in their germs. You're all in their world. The brother hug is a million times worse.
I'm fascinated because when I went to college game day, when Van Pelt came down, he came down through the crowd.
And he was touching everybody's.
And then, his hands out like this. And then when he got down on the floor, I just noticed, he saw LaFonso Ellis, gave him a brother hug.
Of course.
But he even did it with the old guys, with Billis.
Greenberg.
With Greenberg.
Well, they're all buddies.
I know.
I mean, Bickle, when we go, to Kris Kringle and we're with Tommy and Glenn and Pastry, you're giving brother hugs and hugs and handshakes. You're not.
I probably will. I'll probably be like Trump. Trump was interviewed yesterday and he's like, look, he's a long time germaphobe.
Mm-hmm.
He never likes shaking, but he's been famous for his whole life. He didn't like shaking hands, but especially running for president, he didn't want. He said, but he would have a zero chance of winning if he didn't shake hands.
Yeah,
have to accept it.
Yeah.
And then he says, you just got to keep your hygiene.
Travis, you're not going to stop doing that, right?
I'm not going to stop doing anything that I've done in my entire life.
Yeah, exactly.
It will change nothing.
That's the way I feel.
Any part of my life.
I think that a lot of people can live that way, and I think that's good. I know this. When I was with Ehrlich, and we went to, and he was the governor, so this was now 15 years ago, and we went to the Preakness, and we were in the cavalcade of SUVs. Mm-hmm. I was in Ehrlich's SUV with he and his wife.
Right.
He came back from glad handing. First thing he did, this 15 years ago, he was pumping that hand sanitizer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was passing it around to everybody in the truck. Politicians, apparently, and this is, I didn't know this. I mean, I thought of this anecdote recently, but politicians have been trained to not touch their faces and stuff because the handshaking is part of their deal.
Yeah, they do it so much.
I get it.
But look, if we're at an appearance you know, or some station I'm at where we're talking to listeners and we're shaking hands.
You know, I'll fist bump.
No, I will, but I'll also shake hands too. But I will make sure
you wash
after,
your hands
after something like that.
Yeah,
and this is even before Corona came.
Yeah,
I'm going to wash my
hands. I've never
because
liked
a lot of people's hands are just greasy.
Go back to the tape. I've talked about it for years. Like when I get on an escalator and I touch the handrail, I've always thought that was stupid. You know, but I didn't necessarily go run and wash my hands, but I've always thought it's stupid because you're just unnecessarily getting germs. And I get sick all the time.
I may be ignorant. I just never worried about it. I've bet on my immune system.
You don't
have
to worry about it. You know.
Yeah, I mean, the immune system's going
to
take care of it.
Because if you're worried, to me, there are just so many contacts in life where you could pick up germs.
Well, that's why I think about this.
I used to be a guy on the toilet. Like, here they offer that little thing, whatever the heck you call it, that you put over if you have to go number two. Mm-hmm. They have the, what do you call that dumb thing? The cover. The toilet seat cover. I used to use the toilet seat cover. It's a pain in the ass.
Well, I still put...
Literally.
I still put toilet paper over the seats.
You do?
Yeah.
I always wipe
the
seats.
No, I don't wipe it. I just put the toilet paper on the actual seat and I sit on the toilet.
I used to do that too.
Yeah, I just wipe it.
I just wipe it down now.
I think it's the same thing.
But do you think wiping it down with dry toilet paper that's actually doing
anything? Well, here's the thing. You don't really transmit anything butt to butt unless you take your hand and then you eat your fingers like Bloomberg.
Right.
But I mean, you could sit on a dirty toilet. You're not really getting anything. You're not getting herpes. You're not getting... I mean, that's all been proven.
Just, it's just a piece of mind.
You get dirty germs on your butt, but it's your butt, so hopefully you're washing your hands because you're around your butt.
Yeah, but
so that's not really a big deal.
I shake hands all the time with people, and they sneeze, and they use their hands to do that stuff. I know it's not ideal.
Well, here's the thing. It's fine, but having sickness is part of living.
Correct.
But if you have a sickness that happens to be going around, it is more lethal than the regular sickness, it's just common sense to maybe try to dial that down a little bit.
Most people are trying to do that.
Right, right. And so that's what I'd suggest. Here, I'll give you a perfect example. So your daughter and your wife are going to California. You're going to be with someone that's sick, and they're going to be traveling, and they're going to be, you know.
Do they know the guest list yet, by the way? You didn't know yesterday.
I know. I got to check that. Yeah.
So
you mean for the Ellen show?
Yes.
They're also going to John Stamos has a TV show. I don't even know that
didn't
he
know.
Did. They're going to that as well.
Well, like he did that Full House Netflix thing.
No, it's something.
It's not that.
Fuller House.
Whatever it is.
I don't think it's that.
No,
so my daughter and wife flew to Orlando last night. So they're in Orlando for a volleyball tournament the next 3 days. And I've told you, my prediction is that this will be the last volleyball tournament. I could be wrong, but the way this is so rapidly spreading.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Florida's already had documented cases, but I don't care what they say. Every single state has it because people from our country have been traveling for, you know, we always travel in and out of the country.
Right.
So it's everywhere. I assume my wife and daughter are going to pick up whatever viruses at the convention center. There's going to be 10,000 people there. They're going to pick up whatever viruses are there. And they're going to be asymptomatic when they come. I assume this. They'll be asymptomatic when they come back. And that there's, I don't know, 50% chance that they're going to end up with this dumb corona. But
who,
what can
your
I
family?
Do? Yeah, I think
your family's not getting corona.
No, or it doesn't matter, or just a regular flu. I don't want the regular flu.
Yeah,
I don't want the sniffles.
I know, but you didn't feel like this before you got sick with the flu. I mean, you got
I've always tried to avoid. I do not like the flu. It
I know, but my
you.
Point is, if you got corona, it's going to be like the flu. You're gonna. We went over this yesterday. You're gonna stay away from work. You're gonna hydrate yourself. You're gonna rest, and then it'll go away.
Correct, but I don't want it.
Well, of course, you don't
want
it.
Right, right.
Nobody
but
wants
I'm
it.
Assuming.
You didn't want the flu either. But you
correct.
Dealt with it and you got over it.
Correct. I'm not saying I'm going to die or anyone's going to die. I don't think so. I'm saying I think I'm going to get it. I think my wife and kids are going to get it. And it's what it is.
I don't think they will, but that's just me. Drabby, I'm sorry. I brought it up. I talked about going out to California.
Well, I think it's part of our culture. We have to talk about it.
I know, but you know, we did two segments on it.
Looks like John Stamos' show is called Busy Tonight.
That's
no
it.
Idea where it airs. If it's
neither.
On Amazon or Netflix or a regular channel.
The friends that my wife is staying with are friends with John Stamos.
Nice.
So they're getting like VIP passes. And I think they're getting VIP passes for the Ellen show too.
Very nice.
Might be a little backstage meet and greet. Might be. I'm not guessing.
I wouldn't do a lot of meet and greets right now.
Well, you just fist bump.
Yeah, that's fine. It's crazy time, man.
What if John Stamos got sliced for tea?
Okay.
Hmm.
What's going to happen?
And John Stamos, the guy that just mows through women.
Well, he's married now.
Yeah. He is?
Yeah.
I'm sure
he's married. I'm 99% sure he's married now. But I mean, does he have a dumpster D? I would put all my money on yes. Him and yes, 100%.
All right, coming up next, we're going to open up the entertainment page. What is your lead?
I don't know. I'll tell you. You know what?
It's not Corona related. I know that.
I haven't really looked at it yet because I didn't know we were going to get to it. I could give you a Harvey Weinstein update. And then there is a good story about a woman who, it's a cheery one. She had terminal cancer, but then she decided to do something in the last few years of her life. I think you'll get a kick out of that. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.